This podcast is intended for mature audiences and is not considered appropriate for enjoyment in the workplace. However, as bad as this podcast is, we will take anyone we can get, including those who are hard of hearing.
Stop turning that damn dial. We found him. This show is dedicated to the 750,000 fans and listeners spanning from the islands of Hawaii to the trailer parks of North Carolina and over to the whorehouses scattered throughout Europe. Zipping. I wasn't finished. Of other shows and podcasts. Not my problem, people. You wanted an intellectual show that worked the brain like mental Viagra, getting old gracefully, and having a sex life like a rock star? Well, then keep your fingers crossed, because you're now listening to Alan Wolfert on Diary of a Bald Man. This follically challenged air thief and borderline coffeeholic will educate and inform you about non-penetrating, UFO abductions, developing the perfect chicken and dumplings, and how to live life at the speed of dark. Makes you wish you were hard of hearing, doesn't it? And here he is, with a voice that has you yearning to hear nails being dragged across a chalkboard, Alan Wolfert.
Hey everybody, yokoi, aloha, ohayo gozaimasu, and hello. You are listening to Diary of a Bald Man, and today's recording date is Sunday, April 21st, 2024. Now that won't mean shit to you by the time you listen to this, but to give you an idea, we are ahead of the continental United States, because after we left Hawaii and crossed the international time zone, I'm now a day ahead of you. No, I do not have the winning lottery numbers. You don't have to send me an email asking for that shit, but you can. Send it to me, and I'll wait. By the time I get it, the lottery's been drawn in the U.S., and I will have that information for you. Hey, you pick the time and the date, and we'll go from there. So, if you're wondering where the hell the Kwajalein Atoll is, go on Google Maps, look at Hawaii, top left corner where it says search, type in K-W-A-J-A-L-E-I-N. I'll spell that again phonetically. Kilo, Whiskey, Alpha, Juliet, Alpha, Lima, Echo, India, November. So, what am I doing here? It was the time and the opportunity to do so. For those of you that have heard some of the other podcasts, you know, this will be my third remote site. Previously, in 2005 to 2008, I was on Wake Island, which is approximately 700 miles, probably northeast of where I'm currently at. And then, after that, I was working on Shemya Island, which is west of Hawaii and east of Russia. So you may think that I have an affinity for remote locations. I do. I'm an introvert. I don't want to be surrounded by other fucking people. I'm kidding. There are tons of people on this island. We're all here for a variety of reasons. And if you want to look at why I like contracting, go to diaryofabaldman.com/Kwajalein. K-W-A-J-A-L-E-I-N. And you can see some of the information I posted about contractor life and what I'm doing out here. I'm not going to tell you my exact job. I'm doing environmental health and safety, but I'm also training just as I did in the continental United States. So let's step back. The show is called Time and Opportunity, and I want you to think carefully about some of the information I'm talking about. So let's step back in time. Prior to coming out to the Kwajalein Atoll and working for the current company, RG Next, I worked for an amazing outfit based out of Pennsylvania called East Coast Risk Management. And the time I got to spend with them, the 3 years post the pandemic, was amazing. I worked with some incredible people, other safety professionals and insurance professionals and human resource professionals. And what we did is we subsidized for other companies. Let's say you had a small company. You hired East Coast because you can't have a full-time safety, can't have a full-time HR, needed help with claims and stuff. That's what we did. And we were fucking excellent. They still are excellent. I didn't mean to use that in the past tense. But for 3 years after I left Exidy, I got to work with these people, and I was covering from just east of Memphis all the way to Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, I didn't go all the way to Charlotte. I actually stopped in Forest City, North Carolina, Hendersonville, and Spindale. Those were where my clients were at, and I fucking loved them. I had municipalities, lifeguards. I had people doing HVAC, crawl space, encapsulation, and it was amazing. It was the best time of my life as a consultant because I'd done consulting previously, but not as successfully as I did with East Coast because that was my opportunity to really develop the skill set and everything it took to be a safety consultant. I mean, because as a consultant, you have to have construction. You have to have general industry, mining operations. There's a variety of things that build that up and build you up. Think about it. Before the time where you're at right now, you took time to develop skills, knowledge, experiences so that you could develop yourself into the opportunity or position you're in right now. And I want you to remember this when I talk about time and opportunity. So since coming here, prior to coming here, people said, Alan, if you loved East Coast so much, why did you leave and go remote again where you're away from your family, you're away from the things you love? The ability to just drive down to McDonald's. Fuck McDonald's. Not fuck McDonald's. McDonald's is not bad. They hire people. I just don't like their hamburgers. Their chicken sandwich, yeah. Their fries, yeah. Apple pies, oh, yeah. Fuck, I love them. But other than that, yeah, screw McDonald's. And that's my personal opinion, okay? Again, good organization, Ray Kroc, all them, helping people work, blah, blah, blah. But I fucking blame you guys for a lot of diabetic issues, too. Keep making those fucking apple pies, though, because that's got fruit in it. But I digress. So when we're talking about time and opportunities, you know, as time goes by and we get older, more mature, the environment changes. I'm not saying like, you know, leaves are changing, sand shifts, things like that. But the needs of those that we support, our family, our loved ones, ourselves. Because one of the things that became very noticeable, you know, just with my parents, my mom is in a condition where my dad had to do things, and with my dad's broken back and everything else, it's like, fuck, everything's gone up in price. For them just to get Advil, fucking $6, you know, and insurance doesn't pay what it used to. And then you got to drive fucking everywhere to, you know, shop and trying to get lower prices, and it's a madhouse. It is a fucking madhouse. Social Security ain't worth shit. My dad's retirement stuff ain't worth shit. I mean, I'm glad that they have it so he can go out and buy those, you know, 10-pound packs of fucking bologna and do the things that he does for mom. But, you know, Rhonda and I were looking at our stuff. You know, we just got our house, trying to help my parents, and not that her mom needs a lot of help, but that's just the way it is, you know, because we have to look at the people that brought us, that raised us, that took their time and opportunities, you know, to raise us, to make us responsible adults, to make us responsible persons. And the opportunity presented itself because after, you know, I had the idea hit me where my parents were getting, you know, into a position where they may need additional assistance, and they do. I just don't want to go into, you know, overly personal stuff because that's not your business. You don't need to carry somebody else's weight. It's not a heavy weight. It's a privilege, you know, to be able to say, my wife and I, you know, gave up these opportunities, gave up this time for one another, gave up these, you know, personal things that we were growing with in order to financially, you know, improve ourselves. Because we have long-term goals. We have long-term things that we want to do for us and for our kids. Little man, Cameron, Beth, you know, we're thinking about what's coming behind us and where we're going. And we know everybody's fucked. You know, out here on the islands, yeah, I'm not paying for gas. I'm not paying for that. So that's a lesser financial vampire, you know, on the wife and I's finances. So opportunity, you know, to save some money because we're not driving all these vehicles. We're not spending all this for maintenance and things. So had a great job with East Coast Risk Management. If you guys are listening, Don, Aaron, all of you, Mr. Mark, Brian, I miss you guys, but the time was set. You know, the card got pulled. And I'm now in a position where I can do a little bit, you know, more than what I planned on. Again, guys, if you're listening, I had a great company, great support system. We tried to work out other ways that would prevent me from having to leave, but the opportunity just did not present itself until I came out here. And the reason I mention this, and the reason I want you to really think about time and opportunity, you know, one of the best writers out there, if you've never read Gretchen Rubin, last name spelling is R-U-B-I-N, she made a statement that fits you and me. And what it states is one of the biggest wastes of time is doing something well that didn't need to be done at all. Think about that in your daily life. What do you really excel in? How much time and effort do you put in certain things that didn't need to be done? It was redundant. It did not fucking make the world a better place. It didn't make you happier. It didn't make you more secure. It didn't add any value to anything that you'd done other than say, I did this great. And you didn't need to do it at all. You could have focused on something else and put your sight on something greater and took that shot. But that opportunity is now missed because we spend so much other time to make other people great, to make other people's image that much clearer, that now we're buying the smoke because we pulled the trigger at the wrong time, wrong place. So let's get into this, but let's take a moment just to, you know, refresh our prefrontal cortex, get off my rambling voice, and let's listen to Life is Good by the Hunts. And the reason I selected this, it's perfect because life is good. We just have to take the time and opportunity to get off our ass and enjoy it. We'll be back in just a moment.
Love is holding all the cards and always kept me in the dark. I never thought I could shake this heartache until I saw your light, and it's got me feeling like life is good, yeah. Life is good, yeah. Yet in my darkest times, you got me feeling like I've been walking. I'm
stop the search for something intellectual and fulfilling. You've tuned into the diary of a bald man. And there is no going back. Let the moaning, groaning, and bitching begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Shit Show. This is Alan Wolford, and you're listening to the Diary of Bald Man podcast. In this episode, I just want to give out an administrative announcement. If you did not know, this is the third year in a row that the Diary of a Bald Man podcast is being nominated for the People's Choice Podcast Awards. And I just want to give out a heartfelt appreciation, love, and thanks to all of our listeners from Europe, through Asia, continental U.S., and now the Kwajalein Atoll in the Republic of the Marshall Islands. So, you know, we've grown together over the past 2.5 years, and the show has spread. As you've seen on the Diary of a Bald Man webpage, we've got that global connection where listeners have reached out. We've sent postcards, sending letters, sending thank yous, arigato, to, you know, everything around the globe. And we could not be where we are today without every one of you, except maybe a handful. Fuck you guys. Still love you, but yeah, kiss my ass. But, you know, let's get back into this, right? We're talking about time and opportunity. So a lot of the questions I'm getting was, how did the opportunity present itself? Well, let's start from the beginning, the raw beginning. The wife and I were sitting in the garage, just kind of like doing porch time like we did when we lived in Dandridge. And she was getting all these floods of job notifications for Alaska, for her position, you know, people that were looking out for her. And she just glanced over and said, honey, you know what? You've been home all this time. Again, Tennessee being the longest I've had boots on the ground, 10 years, followed by Guam for 7, then Shemya for 5, you know. And she was like, why don't you go? You're almost 60. And she gave me the opportunity to fulfill a dream. I have been wanting to come out to Kwajalein for quite a while. My former boss, project manager Don Davis, also in Tennessee, just down the road from the wife and I, had worked out here. And when he was our boss on Wake, he would talk about the people. He would talk about the things that he was involved with. I'm just talking about, you know, as a worker. Former pilot, veteran, you know, just an amazing dude. Don, if you're listening to this, I love you, sir. You were one of the greatest bosses ever. You know, you did what you did for the island, for the people on the island, and for Chugach as a whole, and I'm grateful for that. But the wife said that, so I just kind of put out a feeler, you know, because like I said previously, there was a lot of financial stress, and just like everybody else is, you know, facing. But if you don't know, you can make better finances as a contractor. You work remotely, as an expat, your money can be higher. Sometimes not, you know, because it depends on what you've got to pay back home. I've got a brand new house. Well, not brand new. It's new to us from last year. You know, we've got all the babies. We got a teenage son. We got our parents that we assist when we can, family members that we assist when we can. And so we developed a plan. And, you know, I had tried to find local work to add on to what I was doing. But as a consultant, you know, my time, really, there was no free time. I could get a call in the middle of the night. Hey, Alan, OSHA came up. We had an injury. Can you assist us? Because that's what we did. You know, when people needed us, we were there. That was our time to help them shine and let their employees know, let the people they work for know, maybe some of their board members. Hey, we've got backup, and it's the best you're going to get. And I was good. I was really good at being a consultant. But, anyway, so the wife said that. I put out feelers, reached out to Don Llewellyn, another great manager that I got to work with in Shemya, worked with him in Alaska, and worked with him on Wake Island when he was at the airfield. And they had a position, but they just filled it, and things just kept rolling from there. You know, the opportunity presented itself one day when I was in the U.S. Safety Professionals page on Facebook. And Sherry Dallas, my current manager, and Sherry, thank you. She was stipulating that, you know, she had some openings come up. And I said, oh my God, Kwajalein, my third remote location that I've always wanted to go to. just because I love working remote. You'd have to read the thing on the Diary of a Bald Man website where I talk about contractors and why it's beneficial to me, why I grow from it, because the things that you go through internally, they help develop you and give you strengths and things you never knew you had. You know, because you're spending all your time and opportunity in your current position for the current company doing great things for them because you're hoping that they notice, you're hoping that they have you climb that ladder when they should be putting you on a fucking escalator and shooting you straight to the top. Remember that. Time and opportunity. And remember what I said Gretchen Rubin said. You know, people are doing things well that didn't need to be done at all. You're a rock star. Fucking prove it. Stop bullshitting yourself. But I digress. So anyways, the wife said this, I put this out. And if it wasn't meant to be, I believe this totally. You know, Sherry would not have posted it. In the day, I go into the room after I've been talking to people about working remote because I had that time period which I needed to be able to get certain things done for my family, for myself. Because that's it. Your family is a great part of you. You know, your family and your surroundings, your environment, all thrive off the effort, the love, the care that you put into it. And so if they grow, you grow. You know, you're like a fucking cactus. If somebody sticks you in the sand out in the middle of the sun and there's no water, there's nothing feeding you, everything around you is dead. It's hot. It's miserable. Nobody gives a fuck because they're not out there to pick your flowers. They're going to look and say, wow, what the hell is that? We can make it into tequila. Maybe that's what they're going to do is feed you, grow you, and then squeeze you for every drop you got. Think about it. What is your time? What is the opportunity presented to you? I want you to think it's as simple as that. You have to reach down and grab your balls and say, I've got to make a decision. I've got to do this. Now, you don't have to physically do that, but you physically do have to reach down and say, what is the point in which I'm going to accept that which has been offered to me? People turn their minds and say, oh, I got to travel. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I'm going to be away from that. Is your family not worth the sacrifice where you can't be up their ass 100% of the time? Are you so unstable that you don't trust yourself or them to be able to survive without you? My wife is 10 times stronger than me. She's a fucking badass. That doesn't mean that I'm not putting additional stress on her because that was part of the opportunity when I married her. I could help share the things. I could help do some of the chores. I could help take care of the babies. I could help in different ways. But in other areas, I just added to it. You know, again, financially, an additional car, additional payments, additional fuel, additional maintenance. It was time for me to go. Because we knew for the opportunity to grow, we knew for the opportunity to develop as a couple, a little bit of separation. Yeah, that's going to be hard. You know, even if I was just staying in the hotel in another state, that's difficult. I'm all the fucking way on the equator in the middle of the fucking ocean. Think about the stress that adds on if something breaks. Yes, we can call my brother-in-law. We can call numerous people that have reached out and said, hey, if you guys need this, let me know. Because we took the time to develop good relationship with those around us. If you don't love the people that are around you, you're in the wrong environment. You're not going to grow. They're not going to grow. Don't be hateful. Don't be a cunt. You know, show empathy. Look out for people. Look out for yourself. Look out for your family. Don't say, well, I don't like them because they do this or they do that. Take the opportunity to learn who they are. Because that person may be a Houdini and help pull your ass out of a tight configuration that's killing you, and you didn't know it because you didn't speak to them. You snub them because of that cliquish mindset that people get into, right? Oh, I'm an account executive. That's just a mailroom guy. That motherfucker's going to bring you a message one day that's going to float you to the surface. So remember that. Remember the people that support you, that took the time to get to know you, know your needs, know your desires, and hence or spoon-fed you the information where you're progressed to the way you are now. Have that empathy. Have that belief in something greater than yourself. But take the time for them and for yourself to learn the people around you. You know, true story. Years ago, there was a maintenance worker in Southern California. He thought his boss hated him. He thought the guy was racist and stuff like that. But what the issue was, it had nothing to do with the gentleman. He had external things that were beating down on him. And the one person that saw him through every day, that got him out of that mindset, was that maintenance worker. Because if shit broke down, he could reach out and say, Rocky, I need this fixed. I'm fucking behind on production. I'm behind on this. So the one guy, not knowing that he was saving the other guy, that he was a lifeline for him in the community in which he worked with, just thought every time some shit happens, he comes yelling at me. And what Rocky did one day, when Paulette, the former maintenance chief, came in and tried to kill their manager, did he truly understand? When he stood in front, because Paulette had no issues with him, they were stressed in the same manner that he was, because they thought that their boss hated them, that they were ridiculing them, that they were taking them down. Think on yourself. How many people do you pass the buck to without going and taking the time and the opportunity to thank them and say, man, I had a bad day, all this came down, but because you're the one solid rock, I seem to be down on you all the time. And it's because I knew you would not move in a bad direction. I knew you would not fail. You have to take the time and the opportunity to recognize the pillars, the blood, the things that flow through you, because the people, the environment, or the conditions that you're in, that you took the time to say thank you, to recognize it. And that's the same thing right now. I'm going through stuff, being out here, internally, nothing to do with the work, nothing to do with my wife. I talk to her as often as I can. But because I feel like I'm letting them down by being out. And I know I'm not. Financially, you know, the wife is a genius. I just send her the money and she can plug that shit into whatever needs. She knows exactly how much to account for here and how much to account for that, because she had to do it. You know, from a previous marriage, she had to handle things when she got out of that. And then marrying me, I suck with numbers. I suck with numbers. I'm fucking brilliant in some areas, highly intelligent in others, but if you say 2 and 2, I'm going to tell you that's 22, not 4, not whatever the fuck you think it is, but what I think it is. And my wife is a genius. So where mine comes in, I do feel guilty because her and little man have to take up all the stuff I was doing, plus the stuff they're doing, work, school. Both of them are working. The wife is in school. Then she's taking care of the dogs, the cat, the house. We do have, you know, some support for yard work and things. But that's huge. On top of already working 12 hours a day, then adding 4 hours of homework to it. So I'm grateful for my wife. I will take the time and take every opportunity I can to thank her for this. Because people, I'm almost 60. I just found out today another close friend, but somebody that I respected, somebody I worked with in Shemya, Miss Dory Sanborn, passed away. She was not that fucking old. I've lost Mike Brindley this year. I've lost Gene Hemphill, two of my pillars, two of the strongest, most loving people I ever knew in my life. And I'm on that list. You're on that list. Our time is leaving. Are we taking the opportunity? Are you fucking taking the opportunity to make your life better? Not just your finances. You know, fuck that. Because you've seen that meme, and I'm just going to use a name. I'm just throwing this out there. But I saw a great post on LinkedIn, and it stuck to me. And I also saw it on, Instagram, where it said, yesterday, Susie, a former coworker of 25 years, died. She had 10 years of PTO established. She had all these things that she did on a daily basis to make people's lives at work better. Always had a smile. One of the kindest people. And she never enjoyed life. Remember what Gretchen said? The biggest waste of time is doing something well for others that didn't need to be done at all. You have the opportunity. You have the time. I know it's hard to say this now, with the way finances and everything is and the cost of living and shit like that. Same as me. I've got those same fucking boots on. They always seem to be getting mud sucked. But my wife took the opportunity when she saw something come up, and she took the time to say, honey, why don't you do this? Because you're almost 60. I'm going to die one day, but I fucking promise you, I'm going to leave her and the family everything I fucking can before I go. But I'm going to enjoy it because I'm in the environment which helps me to grow. And my wife knew that. She knew I was a wanderer. She knew I was a traveler. I've been like that since I was itty bitty. And Dad was in the Air Force fucking dragging us around from one side to another. But because of that, I became a very strong person. However, I won't lie, I became very detached with some people. I didn't make friends because I knew in 2 to 3 years, we'd have to drag up and I may not see him again. There were people I grew up with in Biloxi, Mississippi. We went to Guam together, never fucking hear from it. That's on me. That's not on them. But it was that distancing because if I can't look you in the face and shake, I don't want to just be an online friend. Fuck that. You know, I like to get in and give a hug. You know, and with my wife, I like to give a hug and squeeze ass at the same time. But I'm not going to do that to random people. I want that opportunity to face them and squeeze them. I don't want to hear like I heard today that Miss Dory Sanborn and the others that, you know, Mike Brindley. I loved him to death. We went through so much shit together back in the 90s and the early 2000s. You know, did I have opportunities to go see him prior to him passing? Yes, I did. Did I have the time? I did not. They have to go hand in hand. You have to make that time sometimes. You don't need to go fucking bowling, playing golf, or other shit if you have the opportunity to see a friend, somebody that helped you to grow, that was there for you in hard times, that loved you unconditionally, that presented you with opportunities for you to enjoy so you didn't end up like Susie. If you have PTO, take that shit. You don't have to fucking travel extensively. Most people don't enjoy the things that's in their own communities. They don't even know their own neighborhoods. The great thing about where I lived in Tennessee, I could drive to the mountains with my wife. My mother-in-law would tell us about places, you know, Cades Cove and all the other things that people today don't think of. Because, oh, Dollywood, let's go ride on this and spend, you know, $60,000 fucking dollars. Nothing against Dollywood. Go spend the $60,000 if you got it. Dolly is such a great and amazing person. I don't know her personally, but I love when she got on the show. And she was tired of people always talking about her boobs. And she goes, I got a great ass, too. You got to look it up. Fucking Dolly, you're amazing. But you guys are amazing, too. You know, I'm hoping that some of the content that now comes out of the Kwajalein Atoll, because I'm in a different mindset. I don't have, you know, everything around me. So I'm not suffering because my wife will remind me, like today she planted hostas, a plant I really enjoy. You know, and some of the things she's done around the house for us. So when I come home, it's something that she's done for me, you know, and for her too, and for the family. But brothers and sisters, take the time, take the opportunity, step back. Is where you're at right now helping you to grow? Is it making you feel secure? Do you think, when you think about the future, don't go too far ahead, right? Because tomorrow's not promise. Fuck all that. Today is. If you woke up this morning, be thankful. God, whatever deity you believe in, take the moment to reflect on yourself. Where do you want to go? Then make that opportunity happen. If you don't see it, change your zip code. Go to a different location. I'm so fucking sick and tired of seeing people on Facebook going, you know, I'm looking for a job. I definitely want to help them. But, you know, there's nothing like that in this area. Then fucking move. Look at relocating. You know, if you're not happy and the opportunity is not there, your environment will make or break you. Pull your fucking roots. You can repot a plant. You can repot you. You'll be fine as long as you go into an environment with the mindset. It's better for you. It's better for them. Thank you all for being here. This is Alan Wolford. God bless you. Plan, prepare, communicate, and engage in life. But take every time and opportunity that you have. No regrets. If you do regret it, then what the hell did you do it for? Don't have any doubts. You will be a little bit behind on some things, knowledge, information, whatever it is. But plan, prepare, research shit. Get out there. Enjoy life. I love you. God bless you. Now get the fuck out of here and enjoy the rest of your day. God bless.
Alan Wolford has produced this podcast for entertainment purposes. Neither this nor any other podcast he produced constitute legal, medical, marital, sexual, or professional advice. The opinions and views presented by Alan are his own and do not reflect the views or opinions of employers, clients, family, Facebook groupies, promotional sponsors, or baby Jesus. Any health information shared or mentioned as an alternative does not create any patient-physician relationship or other professional relationship between the audience and the presenters. No person listening to any podcast from this rocket surgeon should act or refrain from acting based on the content of a podcast without first seeking appropriate professional advice and or counseling. Nor shall the information be used to substitute for professional advice and counseling. As stated earlier, this show is for entertainment purposes, not how to lead or change your life. Do what is best for you or what your spouse approves of. Alan Wolford and all guests of the show expressly disclaim all liability relating to any actions taken or not taken based on any and all contents of this site.